So would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Olivia.
And I'm Dan.
And I believe you're with some organized thing, which is called?
The Dough.
There you go. We've got that part right. So I like between the lines stuff. You know, you read a book, and there's always stuff between the lines. So, I mean, I can fill in the blanks. You met because you were composing for a film. And you still do film composition, and we'll get to that. But fill in some blanks for me. Take me between the lines on a few things. Anything you want to tell. And by the way, you have the option of lying.
You know, my problem is I'm half Finnish, and I can't lie. It's just something no one teaches you.
You're not really part of the, quote, French rock scene, are you?
Well, we were part of the French scene, indie music scene, that's for sure. But I don't know, I feel we're very independent in that sense as well, that I think people haven't been really able to put us in a box, which is very, very, which I think we're quite proud about, because we're trying to make things not so easy, and we're obviously present in France. We've been touring a lot.
We don't do the albums and music to be put in a box. It's horrible. We just want to leave the box. So we don't want what we don't know what we are doing. We're just doing what we want and people expect all the time to put you somewhere and to say, oh, it's look like this on this. We don't know. We try to do something we don't know how to do.
There's no question that when I listen to this latest record, so it's not indie rock. It's not, you know, but it's independent. It's independent, and there's a difference between independent and indie rock, right?
Yeah, it's independent because we're doing everything together and we have our own studio and we compose, we write the music and we produce the music. So yes, we are independent and that. There's no producer, there's no label to push us to do something or to sing this song and to arrange a song like this. We do what we want, so we are independent, yeah.
So you have your own studio and you've never had neither album, you've never had a big producer, right?
No, we never really needed that because we like to push our music as far as possible, the two of us. I mean, it's worked that way right from the start, and I mean, it's almost weird for us to imagine someone else taking our music and you know, I feel we just need our music to be very concentrated, and it's we're looking for the essence of our own artistic vision, and that's how we do it well together, and Dan loves doing the whole mixing and arranging and producing part, so there's no, it would be terrible to take that away from him.
But what's really amazing though is that you had the first, and I know this is brought up a lot, but I'm intrigued by this, that you had the first English language top of the charts record. Now you would think that would have happened a long time ago. Now admittedly, and I say this joking around, but the French are not very easy about English language stuff, are they? It's very keep to yourself and it's very this is ours. So that you broke the trend by being resonance but doing it in another language, that's pretty massively interesting, isn't it?
It was surprising us because, you know, if we were listen to all the labels and professional around us and they say all the time, you have to sing in French because you will never sell CDs, or you have to do this and you have to do that, and we didn't listen to them, and we did again what we wanted, but we were surprised that Phoenix or Air or Daft Punk weren't number one on charts, but And Phoenix was very, comment dire, mis de côté.
Put aside
from the French scene. It was, you know, it's because they are very famous here now that French people love them, and it's a shame because it's very, very great band, and now we just reproved that we did it, and but
it's funny because when I started singing when I was 13 or 14, and I started singing in bands and meeting people, who every single person in France that I met wanted me to write in French. And I've always been, I've always refused that because it wasn't my, right from the start, it's been a very natural thing for me to write in English because I'm half Finnish, so I speak Finnish and French from an early age, and I've listened to English music or American music all my life, mostly, and that's how I learned the language as well, reading all the lyrics of the artists that I liked. So that's how I built my vocabulary as well. My imagination is built on that as well. So it's just a natural thing.
The mistake that everybody makes is that Europe's great and making it in France is really good, but really, doesn't everybody want to make it way beyond there and get their music like where you are now and to a million other places that just might not speak French?
For sure. That's not the reason why I sing in English, but it's obviously, I think I've always been obsessed with things that are universal. I think that's, it's simple as just bringing people together, which is a beautiful thing. So it's really naive in a way. But then I think the language is not always a barrier, but it's obviously easier to travel when you sing in English. But I think the French have changed, like these last 5-6 years of the internet, MySpace, everything. These things have definitely changed the mentalities.
The world has opened up,
yeah, and people have had to accept that in the labels and everywhere and the industry.
You have a top record in France, right? And then there is America. And America's, you know, probably in some ways very welcoming of your music, and in other ways kind of like, okay, what do we do with this? Because I'm listening to it and it's not a rock and roll record, right? And it's not an indie rock record in the typical thing. It's really just songs and interesting pop songs with all sorts of, the one thing I really noticed in the last listen, you know, since, because I played it when it came out, and then I put it away for a little while, and now I've come back to it, is the sounds. You spend a lot of time, there's a lot of quirky, weird, interesting layers of sound over, you know, that also command your vocals, right?
Yeah, we like to be lost in sounds, and we like to listen not only one time, but few times a song or music. And it's for that I really like contemporary music, because I can listen to it. I can listen to a piece like 100 times and just discover a new thing. And this is what I like. And this is what I like personally. I like Frank Zappa or the Beatles or Captain Beefheart, or because I can listen to them more than one time, you know, and that's wonderful. And still, I'm sorry to talk again about the Beatles, but all the song and the arrangement and the color are so different, song by song, and
We like to keep it playful. I think that's the goal. Mostly, and that's what we do on stage. I mean, if we lose that, we lose all the pleasure of being in the studio and just, it's not about experimenting like in a very intellectual way. It's just about finding sound that sounds that we haven't heard before, and you know, incorporating them into a simple song in a way, because we like to keep the songs quite simple and quite You know, we like it when a song works just, you know, with guitar and vocals or piano and vocals. And then you can add in there whatever you like.
Yeah, if you can strip it down to the basics and then add on to it, that's when you know it's a good song, right? If you can play it acoustically and it still works.
Yeah, I think it has to remain an important landmark, an important direction.
But it's so funny because you said, you know, about being light and funny. I was smiling as you were telling me about being sick in the car. You know, it became my favorite song. As I listened to it 3 times in a row, I'm like, I'm smiling. She's talking about, you know, making me being sick and throwing up. And I'm kind of, and I'm like, and visually I should be getting really disgusted. And I'm smiling and I'm laughing because the tune and the sounds that go with it are so much fun that throwing up suddenly became really cool.
Romantic.
Really romantic. Yeah, exactly. And you fully intended that, didn't you?
I did. I played.
She's turning red at this moment in time. Just for those who can't see that, so we're not doing this one on video.
No, I'm so happy you're saying that. No, I mean, yeah. I mean, I felt it that way. I mean, it was. How can I had fun with that idea. I must admit.
Well, and we all do want to throw up over love, don't we? On a regular basis, because that's, nobody likes to admit it, but we're kind of like, it's the greatest thing in the world, and then it absolutely is abhorrent to us at exactly the same time, depending on that exact moment you are in any sort of relationship, right?
It happens more often than we think, or we like to notice, I think, so.
One of the things that obviously, again, is very DIY for you is film and video. You do bring really wonderful people in to work with you, but you obviously, having worked on a lot of film, have a very definitive aesthetic. And I think that Slippery Slope is a good example. So tell me a little bit about Japanese horror and how you kind of got there.
No, it was during the recording of this album, we felt in love with a movie called Onibaba, a Japanese, old Japanese movie. And I think this movie inspire us for
was,
1 year.
Both visually and, I don't know, it inspired images and music to us.
It's just a very beautiful movie. You know, the movie, when you see this movie, you think that this movie was made for you, only for, and it's one of this movie we did only for us, and we always talking about this movie and nobody knows this movie,
well,
so.
It's black and white, it's very graphic, it's very, it's surreal, it's wild, it's, there's the references to theater, it's poetic, it's passionate, there's everything in that film.
You don't really put any borders, because there's Bartok in there, and there's, I cannot even pronounce, I'm not even going to try the Finnish, Vardar. As you go about your daily lives, you really are not just being a band, but you're kind of being pop culture people that are then translating all these things you absorb into the songs, right? Hence why track to track, nobody could put their finger on exactly what's going to happen next, right?
Yeah, I think there are many. Maybe it's also being a duo. It might give it another layer of intensity. And so we like to draw inspirations from obviously everything that surrounds us, and it's like a collage in a way. At some point you have all these influences and all these things that you love, and you want to keep the best of it, of them, and try to mix them. It's also, it can be compared to making a good lunch or dinner. I think we like to mix these different ingredients and balance them, and find the right balance between spicy and sweet and salt and pepper and I don't know. It's to us it seems obvious, because it's not only about music. Although, I mean, when we're in the studio, it's like 6 or 8 months of only music, and then we start maybe opening up to visual things and to other things.
Yeah, you never know. And we talk with Anthony, the singer and the composer of M83, and he said, you know, I did 6 albums. We did only 2 albums, and America is big, and the world is big, and there's a lot of bands. It's amazing. every day there's a new band, and every day we listen to new band, and every day there's a new future star band, and you know, there's, and after, you know, like in France or Germany, now we just did a tour in Germany, it was amazing, and in Finland we played, it was amazing too, and it took time, you know, and after you can have a song in a movie, and you just, everybody knows your music just because of that, and you just have to, we don't do music for that, we just do music because we need to do music, and after we just see what happened, you know, it's like a mix of lucky and strategy.
Cover songs, Sex on Fire, and I finally heard the lyrics.
I still just don't really understand them. I've been trying.
I did not say I knew what they were about.
We are a huge fan of the beginning of this band. What is the name? The name of the band.
Kings of Leon.
And because we discovered Kings of Leon during a festival. And we play not with them, but another stage. And it was horrible. Seriously, it was horrible because they became... You don't understand why they did so much good music and like Haha Check Breaker. And we love this album. And after they did like commercial things, they just think about... They are very serious now and they don't laugh at all. So we loved... The two first album of Kings of Leon, and it was like a joke for us to do this song because the lyrics are completely débile. it's nothing, and the video clip is horrible, but this band is great. It's one of the best band. It was funny to listen to Olivia sing these lyrics, you know, like it was very masculine lyrics, and now in...
I don't know, there's something...
But why we choose this?
I can't remember, I can't remember why we chose that, but I think I like the idea of the big contrast of this, exactly as you said, this arena, huge hit. And making it very intimate and very small and almost whispered. We like that kind of contrasts, and I think that's how we pick most of the tracks we cover. I really like doing that.
So I invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.